When I get excited about something, I just kind of run with it. It's a part of my personality. It's a part of who I am and what I do. And some things stick and some things don't. But the things that stick, honestly, kind of like become a part of who I am, become a part of what I do, and mostly because I don't stop talking about them. So my wife is kind of worse at this than I am, but when we're both excited about something, we're going to let everybody know, right? If we had like a really good experience or a really bad experience, we're going to make sure everybody knows the ins, the outs, the details, what happened, how to avoid it, or how to not avoid it. And one of those things that like really... that I'm like super, super passionate about. It's something very important, something that is like really monumental in this world, is cruises. I went, you probably weren't expecting that. I went on a cruise on my honeymoon for the first time, and I've always wanted to do it, never had the opportunity, whatever. I've been all around the world. It's part of my job here. It's a part of what I've done before, but I've never been all around the world on a cruise ship that lets you eat unlimited food. Right? Life-changing. And so there's just nothing better that I found than spending a week with my new wife, eating as much as I want, honestly, like unpacking and kind of living in a traveling hotel, waking up at a different island every day and just living the best life possible. It's amazing, and I came back, and I swear I could be a brand rep for Carnival Cruise Line and get anybody to sign up. I'm excited about it. I love it. And I told my wife if she wants to do a vacation in the future, that's not a cruise, she's going to have to fight me because it's just not going to happen. But tonight, we're going to be starting the book of Acts, and Ben's kind of been prepping us to get there, and tonight as we start, we're going to start in as a part of the movement that requires the same amount of hype that I give cruises, and even more than that. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and turn to Acts 1. And as you get there, as we start here at the beginning of Acts, we have, Jesus has risen from the dead. And he's spending some time convincing, like, people that that actually happened, right? Because hard to believe it, but, like, they saw this dude die. Now he's alive. He's spending time eating with them, being with them, saying, like, hey, this actually happened. I'm for real. And right, I think it says 30 days have passed, like right about to the time that they get like used to the idea, like, all right, dope, Jesus is back. Like he said he's going to leave, but like he's back, he's here, we see him, we're being with him, he's back. Something crazy happens. And so, yeah, here we go. So here we go. We start in verse 6, Acts 1, verse 6. And it says, so when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking him, Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom? He replied, the Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times, and they're not for you to know. They're being extra nosy here. Verse 8 says, but you'll receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you'll be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. After saying this, he was taken up into a cloud, very normal, while they were watching and they could no longer see him. As they strained to see him rising into heaven, two white-robed men, also very normal, suddenly stood among them. Men of Galilee, they said, why are you standing here staring into heaven? Jesus has been taken from you into heaven, but someday he will return from heaven in the same way you saw him go. So this has to be like the craziest thing to ever have happened, ever, right? They were with him for 30 days, and they're getting used to the idea that he's back. They saw him die, but he rose from the dead, and now he's back. And then all of a sudden, he just disappears. But what happens in this little small portion of Scripture is that he gives this group the largest assignment you could ever possibly imagine. Every person on every continent, like they don't even know all the continents to exist yet, but every person, every single one of them, you are going to make disciples of them. Like this is a group of carpenters, of tax collectors, of fishermen, And most of these guys haven't even been like 50 miles from their home ever in their lives. And if they did, that's a great feat. But he says the whole world. Never has a more important assignment been given to like a least capable group of people ever. And then without like any explanation, any marching orders, any reasoning at all, he just goes, the next verse to say, he just goes up and he ascends into heaven and he's gone. The whole world you are to make disciples of. And that's how it all began. And so we sit here now, 2,000 years later, and speaking a whole different language and a whole other side of the world. We sit here now, gathered together, reading this Bible because of that moment that started a movement on the hillside with a bunch of carpenters and fishermen and tax collectors. And I think there's a lot of things we can learn from this, but tonight I want to talk about two things that we can learn from this movement. Was that this message that Jesus sent them with. And he said over there in verse 8, this message is the greatest message of all time, and it captured their hearts and their minds. You see, their conviction was that Jesus died as a substitute for sinners. That he wasn't just another religious prophet with another religious message. But in fact, he was the Son of God that came on a rescue mission to save them. And see, we as humanity greeted his appearance on earth by murdering him. Because we're a bunch of selfish and rebellious people that would rather try to live life our own way than submit to God the Father. So we murdered him. But the best part of this story is not how we greeted him, not how we reacted, but the best part of this story was that Jesus' sacrificial death was accepted by God as a payment for our sins. And all we have to do is acknowledge it. We have to repent for those sins, and then we have to accept that gift that was given through that sacrifice. You see, they believed that Jesus rose from the dead, and it was against every fiber of their being. They had no room in their theology for a Savior that comes and is beaten and tortured and killed as a criminal. To them, a Messiah was supposed to be a king, a person with political power. They'd never heard of anybody that had been risen from the dead. But they believed it against everything that they knew to be true because they saw it. And even after they saw it, it took Jesus 30 days to like somewhat convince them that it was happening. Matthew 28 talks about it. But they finally got to a point where they said, I can't deny it anymore because I saw it with my eyes and I've touched him with my hands. You see, the apostles understood that this was a big deal. That if Jesus actually did raise from the dead, then he actually was who he says he was. And the whole book of Acts is kind of pointing back to this idea that if this is true, if Jesus actually did raise from the dead, then he was who he says he was. And if he was who he says he was, then this is the greatest event of grace that ever graced this planet. Like, the best thing that could ever have happened. God the Creator dying for his creation. God the Father calling a bunch of rebellious, sinful slaves his daughters and his sons. They knew that if this was true, this was the most important message to ever exist, because it was our only hope for salvation. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody gets to the Father except through me. This, my friends, is the gospel. And some of you might have heard this for the first time ever. That you, no matter what you've done, no matter what you thought, no matter what you said, no matter what you believed, that he loves you and he cares for you and he died for you. And guys, this is the most important message to ever exist. I believe it. I believe it with every fiber of my being. It's why I do what I do here. And I want every single person to know that. And so a lot of you are sitting in this audience like, yep, all right, I'm with you. I'm on board. And I get the gospel, kind of. I understand it. I'm all for it. What's next? Well, let's take a look at what verse 8 says again. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Second thing that we see from this piece of scripture is that we're called to be witnesses. All right. So the disciples, the apostles, got this. They understood the message. They understood it was important. Now they're called to be witnesses. Okay, so some of you are thinking in your head now, okay, I get the first part. Yep, cool, the gospel. But to be a witness, does that mean I need to preach? Does that mean I need to know all the right words? Does that mean that I need to be a Bible scholar? You know, I just don't have what it takes. I'm going to let those people be the witnesses. And actually, you do have what it takes. In Acts 2, Peter talks about the Spirit of God coming, and that even like sons and daughters will prophesy. You see, being a prophet in the Old Testament was a big deal. If you were a prophet in the Old Testament, your names were Elisha and Elijah. You had books written about you. Peter said that God promised every Christian, you're going to prophesy like they did in the Old Testament. That which was reserved for heroes in the Old Testament became the standard for believers in the New. Jesus talks about it in Luke when he talks about the greatest prophet other than himself, John the Baptist. And he goes on to say that the least in the kingdom of God is greater than even him. Realize what he's saying here, right? There's some of you in this room that have had a really hard week, that have had a really hard semester, that you hate being here, or you're really struggling, or there's nothing in your life that's going well. And you're sitting here and you're saying, yep, I am the least in the kingdom of God. I'm not good enough. I'm not talented enough. I don't know enough. The Word of God says that because of the Holy Spirit, just like it says here in verse 8, because of the Holy Spirit, you in yourself, where you sit right now, have more in your potential than even John the Baptist. Let that sink in. You, where you sit right now in your own, in whatever you know about Jesus, whatever you know about the Bible, if you're a believer of Jesus Christ and follow him with all your heart, you in your own potential are greater than John the Baptist. That's amazing. You see, what we're called to do is we're called to be a witness. What does that mean? What does that mean exactly? What do witnesses do in a court of law? They bring out evidence, right? They bring forth what they've seen, what they've experienced, what they've felt, what they know to be true. They don't answer the questions of why, but they answer the questions of what, where, who. The judge and the jury take care of the questions of why. If I were to guess, just a guess, I think a lot of you in this room shy away from the role of being a witness because you might not know how to answer the question, why? Why do bad things happen? Why is this the case and this not the case? Why this? Why that? Why? And if I were to guess, that's why a lot of you in your own life, in your own walk, in your own experience here on campus, tend to play it safe, tend to stick within your comfort zone, tend to be and do what you're good at without actually stepping into the roles being a witness. Y'all, what this is saying is that through the power of the Holy Spirit, you have the ability to be a witness without the responsibility of having to answer the question why, but simply with the responsibility of sharing what you know to be true. How did you feel? What did you experience? What does it look like for you? To me, that frees me up a little bit. Y'all, when I got back from that cruise, I sat every single person down and I said, this is the cruise line you got to go at. This is the ports you have to stop at. This is what you have to have for breakfast, lunch, and dinner. This is what you have to wear on the third formal night. This is the room you have to, and the floor you have to lay on. And y'all, I just got a group of 20 of my best friends to go on a cruise this past summer because I wanted to go on a cruise. And so they all came. And it was awesome. Y'all, what if we had that same confidence and that same heart within us to share the truth about what the gospel is? All of our experiences are different. My experience on my cruise ship, based on my floor, based on what I signed up for, based on the things that I ate, are different than everyone. But my word and my gusto for it we'll get people on board. Y'all, being a witness is easy because you just share what you know and you go and do it. You see, we sitting here tonight and you get the choice to decide if you want to respond to this call of service and missions that was started 2,000 years ago. Those guys on the side of that mountain, when they saw Jesus for the very last time before he descended, they had the opportunity to say, nope, I'm out. That was too crazy. I'm done. I'm at my wit's end. I'm going to go on the rest of my life being a fisherman, being a carpenter, being a tax collector. What would have happened if that was the case? You would not be sitting here tonight. You would not know the freedom and the glory and the power of the gospel that I shared before. You see, what I want for you more than anything is I want you to show up for your time in college. Maybe you're new to campus. Maybe you've been here your whole college career. I want something so much more for you than to just show up here onto this campus, onto Wesleyan, onto Heartland, and go with emotions and take whatever classes you need to take and graduate with the least amount of experience you need to do to graduate and get that diploma and go on to the rest of your life. You have the opportunity of a lifetime being on this campus, the next 3, 2, 1 years, whatever you have left, to do incredible things. The choice is yours. What happens when we're a witness? The kingdom expands. Plain and simple. When we are stepping into our role of being a witness, the kingdom will expand. And so tonight, we want to make it super easy for you. You have things thrown at you. You guys, there was Festival ISU. Was that last week? I don't even know. 2 weeks ago? Man, I don't even know what date is. We just had Festival ISU, right? You went on the quad, and thousands and thousands of people wanted to talk to you. And so tonight, I want to make it easy for you, not saying that these are the right ways to serve or if there's wrong ways to serve, but we have prayed and we've devoted ourselves to give ourselves to the Lord open-handed, saying, Lord, here we are. Let us be your witnesses and see what he does with it. And so tonight, I want to share with you what Encounter is going to be launching this year in the areas of service and missions. And so some of you, before I start, I want to just lay the ground and say that if you have been a part of Encounter before, you might be used of certain, certain ways that teams are run, certain trips, certain experiences. And so this year, I want us to come to to service and missions night with an open heart and open mind, and most importantly, with hands wide open, saying, "Lord, whatever you have for us this year, we're gonna give it to you." And so my heart for you is to find whatever is the right fit for you in order to serve here and far for the expansion of the kingdom. You see, verse 8 specifically says where they are to go when they are being a witness. Everywhere. Jerusalem, to them, that's their hometown. That's here. That's this campus. This is home for you. Judea, that's right outside their city. It's right outside their home. That's this community. And to Samaria is to a place where they don't connect, they don't get along. There's not reconciliation there, and to the ends of the earth, and to keep going. And so the areas we have for you to serve this year, we hope hit those areas for you in your personal life. And so first up are service teams. In the past, we've had up to 15 to 17 different service teams in hopes to give you all the maximum opportunities to serve here and in this community. After a while, we felt the conviction to simplify. We want to keep the opportunities to lead and to serve, but we want to simplify in order for you to fit your niche and to hit your sweet spot. And so we have consolidated all of our service opportunities into four basic areas of service. First one is belong. Yeah. If you are interested in the belong team, you are interested in other people. You want to create a space here at Encounter specifically for new people to be welcome. Belong team is where you have the opportunity to serve here on Monday night with setup, with greeting, within the band, within sound, lighting. It's where you have the opportunity to create a space at the campus house for events and relationships to happen. And so for the belong team, our hope is that we have created a space where a new person could step into this ministry, not second guess themselves, not feel out of place, but that we have created a space for them to be known and for them to know their creator. Oops. Second is the adore team. We believe you have the opportunity here. I don't know what just happened. We believe you have the opportunity here at Encounter to experience a relationship with the Lord that is deep, that is genuine, that is life-giving. And we want to help you create that experience. So if you're interested in serving with the Adore team, this is perfect for areas of musical worship. If you are a musician, we want you on this team. This is perfect for areas of prayer. If prayer is something that has been on your heart, if it's something that you said, "Hey, I really want to dive deeper into this year. I want to become a better prayer." If something like the spiritual disciplines is something that's important to you, something that excites you, the Adore team is going to be creating experiences this whole year to place you right at the throne of the Lord. And hopefully an opportunity for you to bring other people with you in that. Extend. We think it's really easy to forget that we're smack dab in the middle of a community. Bloomington Normal is a thriving community that has a lot of different industry, that has a lot of different areas of wages, that has a lot of different areas of poverty, that has a lot of different needs. And so, y'all, when I got here to college, I didn't even think about serving in the community or figuring out what are the needs of the people around me. The Extend team has the opportunity to partner with organizations and churches that are doing some incredible things here in the community. My hope for you is that if you join this team, you're going to create different areas of passions in your life. You're going to figure out, actually, hey, I really thought that I liked this, but I'm actually really good at this area of ministry. What could that mean for the rest of your life? Y'all, don't let your time here in college go by without exploring what the community of Bloomington Normal has for you. It might just change everything. Last is engage. Our campus is the biggest mission field that you have in front of you. Y'all, I can't help but to drive to the campus house every day and be overwhelmed at the thought of 20,000 plus students across the street from me going in and out of life, and a lot of them not knowing about Jesus. We want people to serve on this team who care about knowing their stories, knowing their hearts. The Dream Project that was launched just last week or a few weeks ago is a big core initiative of this Engage team. We want to know the stories of people on this campus. We want them to know that they are loved, that they're cared for, that their identity just isn't held within who the world says they are, but within who God says they are. Y'all, each one of these different teams have a lot of opportunity within them. What I gave you tonight as examples of being able to serve here on Monday night, or being able to serve in worship, or being able to serve with the Dream Project, are just examples, just the tip of the iceberg of what could happen. What I want for you is I want you to dive deep within your heart, to present yourself to the Lord and say, God, what else could happen? How can I be a witness in these four areas? I want you to join those teams, and I want you to work with the leaders on those teams, and I want you to give them ideas. I want you to spur on conversation. I want you to challenge. I want you to say, hey, what could happen if we took this call seriously? Four teams to change the world right where we're at and right in this community. Y'all, this should be happening every day in and out of your life. These four teams are just an excuse to help that happen. We want to make it as easy as possible for you. And so tonight we're going to have opportunity to sign up for these. I'm going to go ahead and jump to missions really quick. A little bit later, I'm going to tell you what it's going to look like to sign up for these teams. Let me say something before I move on from this. I would love for you to pray and to choose one of these teams and saying, God, I'm giving myself to you this year in Adore or Extend or Engage or Belong. Lord, help me know you more through this. Help others know who you are through this. Because I believe when you devote yourself to one team, when you devote yourself to the Lord and say, Lord, use me however you will, he's going to grow you, he's going to stretch you, and you're going to find your sweet spot when you find yourself serving in one of these capacities. Y'all ready for missions? So we broke up our mission trips last year into three different categories, and we do this to help you decide what trip is best for me to go on. You know, a lot of people outside of the church can get confused of like, hey, you're going on this trip and you're hearing a lot of stories, you meet a lot of people. Is that actually a mission trip? Is that not? What does that actually mean? And so we've divided our mission trips into three different categories in hopes to help you choose in ways you should be serving better this year. First one are our mission trips. Our mission trips are built to come alongside an established organization in an effort to encourage, support, and physically assist with our mission. Most trips include a combination of labor, relational, and evangelism work. These trips include long hours, hard work, and an opportunity to learn from those you're serving. Next is vision trips. Our vision trips are designed to help students explore a potential call to full-time missionary work. Participants see mission work up close, encounter a new culture, and spend quality time with current missionaries. And our exposure trips are meant to open students' eyes to global issues that they may otherwise never see firsthand. This firsthand experience draws us closer to the Father as we begin to understand his heart for the world beyond our doorstep and helps us become lifetime advocates of these new exposures. And so the idea is that within each one of these trips, you're going to be doing a little bit of a different thing, and you're going to be experiencing a little bit of different experiences, but most importantly is that you're going. And so we've explained these beforehand because they're going to help you understand a little more of what the trips are going to look like this year. So the first one is MMT. May mission trip happens right after school ends. So that last week, you take finals, and some people graduate, and you dip out, and you leave. May mission trip is one of our exposure trips. And the goal of a May mission trip is to come alongside a ministry that's doing really awesome, amazing work in an urban setting. The last few years, we've come along a ministry that works with refugees out in Louisville. In the past, we've gone to Minneapolis to partner with a church that's doing incredible urban ministry within a neighborhood setting and kind of really living up the life on mission aspect. And so there's not a location set for this because May is a long time away and we have some time for that. But know for you who are interested in really experiencing a new culture, something within the country of the United States and within the Midwest, there's a lot that we can learn and experience from. This is a very cheap trip. Our goal is to keep this trip around $250. And so if you've never been on a trip before, if something like raising a lot of money scares you, this is a great first trip to experience. Next trip that we're going on this year is the Philippines. In late June 2019, we will be going to the Philippines. A lot of you probably don't know, but we have three sister ministries in the Philippines that we have founded. So we have sent teams over there. We partner with the lead pastor and the director, Arnold Pasion, and his wife, Gigi, and they are doing incredible, incredible work in the Philippines. The cool thing is that they have Encounter. Literally, same name, same campus ministry, same board, same staff. They have, I think, a staff of six people spread throughout three cities that are on our staff. They're on our salary. They're on everything. They're literally our sister ministries. We get to go, and we get to send a team to come alongside them and do ministry with Encounter in the Philippines. Y'all, this is a huge opportunity because where they're at right now is there are a lot of dreams, a lot of really cool things happening in the Philippines. There's dreams of new campuses, new campus ministries. There's dreams of bringing alumni in. So we have that opportunity to come alongside them, put on a leadership training for the leaders of all the ministries, invest in their staff, and possibly go and do a campus ministry scouting trip in Manila. And so there is just incredible stuff happening. Arnold actually is going to be here in a few weeks. We're going to sit down with him, put some more of those dreams on paper. This is another cool opportunity because another campus ministry in Arkansas partners with us in supporting them. So you're going to be going on a trip if you go on this trip with a few students from the University of Arkansas as well as a joint trip and going and visiting and encouraging our students in the Philippines and our staff in the Philippines. This trip is especially great if you're interested at all in campus ministry or any ministry in the future. This is a great opportunity to see what it looks like living life on mission on the Philippines. Next trip happening this year is Kenya. Early June 2019, we're going to be partnering with an organization called GoYeah. One of things that God put on our hearts a few years ago is that we partner with organizations that our alumni are on staff at, or have founded, has been a part of. And one of our own alumni has created and founded this ministry in Kenya that is doing incredible, incredible work. Literally anything you can think of, they are probably doing. Our main focus is going to be coming alongside their high school, their secondary school, and investing in the students and the teachers there. There's opportunities, there'll be extra opportunities to go into the slums and visit elementary schools, orphanages. They have doctors and you know, medical stuff. There's a lot that they do. But last time we went, we really felt and we noticed that the most fruitful time that we spent were with the high schoolers. Y'all, these high schoolers are among the smartest, most talented young people in Kenya. Not everyone in Kenya gets an education, especially at the high school level. So these kids, honestly, are probably smarter than me, and they're super dedicated, have little to nothing to their name, but they wake up every day encouraged and dedicated to work. We get along, come alongside them and do training, teach classes, be a part of doing ministry with them. Y'all, this trip, when I went, completely changed my life in incredible ways. And so this exposure trip, I guarantee you, will shift the way that you see the world. Next trip is called the long haul. This is a new trip that we are doing this year. Some of you may have been involved in what was called the Pay It Forward Tour in the past. There's an organization, a national organization, that founded a chapter here at Illinois State. The organization has since dissolved and is no longer providing a spring break trip. So, y'all, this is our premier trip for 2019. And let me pitch my vision for you. We are going to provide and serve our campus by launching very, very similar trips to what they had in the past. What the trip looks like: you go on a spring break service trip from Normal to Washington, D.C., stopping in cities along the way. Every city you wake up and you do a different type of service project. Depending on what the city's known for, depending on what is relevant in that area of the country, you could be working with the elderly, you can be working with environmental restoration, you could be working with kids, you can be working within poverty. The goal of this trip is to see the country, serve in different areas, but also build up yourself as a leader and also connect to the people on this trip. Here's where we come in on this trip. We're blessed with the opportunity to have the staff and an internship program to put on these trips. Our idea, and I want you to hear me on this and hopefully get excited with me on this, is that we are going to fill these trips with half encounter people, half people that don't know Jesus. I want you to pray about what it looks like for you to spend your spring break on a service trip. So, y'all, this is technically listed as a mission trip, but this is going to functionally be a completely straight-up service trip. There's going to be no devotions, no worship, no talk about Jesus. The hope is that we get to fill each bus with half encounter people, and then we get to go on campus and say, hey, sign up for a spring break service trip. We're going to these cities. We're doing these service projects. Come serve. We want you to invite your friends, your roommates, your colleagues, people that are so far from the Lord that would never step into encounter, but that might go on a service trip. The goal is to create friendships. The goal is to serve alongside people. And you know what happens when you serve alongside people? As you're serving, as you're doing something so selfless, walls start to break down. As you're serving, as you're giving up your time, as you're giving up your energy, as you're giving up spring break, all of a sudden trust is being formed. And what happens on these trips is that you spend a lot of time on a bus. It's called the long haul for a reason, going from city to city. And you meet people, and you build relationships, and you have friends. And you turn to the person next to you, and you ask the question, or they ask the question, hey, what matters to you? And you have the opportunity to be a witness, just like we talked about before. Y'all, it's our hearts this year that the lost on ISU's campus get to know Jesus in whatever way possible. Would you be a part of being in that equation during your spring break? The possibilities are endless, and I'm excited to talk more about what this could look like. I want you to know that for all of these trips, we want the right teams to go. I know a lot of you are expecting me to come up and share that we're going to do a winter mission trip this year. Unfortunately, we're not going to do a winter mission trip this year. And I only say this from up front because I'm going to have 1,000 people asking me about that. The organization that we used to partner with for our winter mission trip actually dissolved that part of the organization, and they no longer host teams. Here's what I want to say to you. I know a lot of your lives have been changed going on winter mission trip. I know a lot of your lives have been changed because it was the first thing that got you into encounter. Here's what I want to say. That trip didn't change your life. God changed your life. What it took was you answering that call to go be a witness. I'm asking for those of you who are so excited to sign up for winter mission trip again this year or any other mission trip, consider one of these 4 trips. Consider maybe spending a week on spring break rather than a week during winter mission trip. We want the best teams possible to go this year. We have simplified and only doing 4 trips for a reason, because we want to do these trips so well. We want to knock it out of the ballpark. We want the kingdom to expand as our students step up to be witnesses. There's going to be info sessions coming up here later this month for all of these mission trips, so you can hear dates and costs and details and all of that stuff and decide which trip is right for you to be on. But y'all, being a witness and serving on a team, a service team, and jumping on a mission trip will change you forever. Some of you might have saw that I asked on my Facebook today, hey, if you've ever been a part of a mission trip or service team, can you just answer the question, how has your life been changed? I'm going to go through and I'm going to read some of these answers aloud for you. On an encounter mission trip, I was able to break down stereotypes and preconceived notions about people from cultures different from mine. I saw a fuller picture of God's kingdom. Serving has opened my eyes to bigger picture and what God has planned for us, that people are kind and want to know you as much as you want to know them, and that although our mission is to go out and serve people, you find yourself being loved and feeling His love in the most unexpected and wonderful ways. Moving forth from the mission trip, I've lived my life differently, served others, opened my eyes to what truly matters in life, and grown tremendously in my faith, ultimately surrendering my own life and being baptized. Taking a step in faith to go on this trip without anyone I knew well was scary, but so rewarding. I left with so many friendships and new passion for intentionality in small groups. It helped shape my path and encounter, which helped me to see that God truly could use me. Encounter missions got me plugged into a community that I needed more than anything. It changed my college experience and gave me the opportunity to spend my time doing something that truly matters. Encounter service teams has made me more aware of the ways that college is about more than myself and has given me a way to practically serve students around me. Through this trip, God gave me a compassion for people that I didn't know existed in myself, and He also used it as a vessel to point me to ministry after graduation. The Lord reminded me of how the story He is writing for our world is so much greater than I think it is, and how we have, and how we each have a vital role to play in building His kingdom here on earth. He taught me that it's okay to dream wild things and that He will lead you exactly where He needs you to be if you let Him. Because of one of my trips to work with a college campus ministry, I'm now a college campus minister in that very place I visited. It changed my entire life plan because God used that trip as a way to open my eyes to what He wanted me to do to serve Him. It was through these trips that God showed me very clearly the gifts He's given me and what a blessing it is to others when I use these gifts. I met people who pushed me and went places that transformed my life radically, all while leading me closer to the Lord. Encountering missions opened my eyes to justice issues around the world. It also helped me to see that God is the same everywhere and how he loves in a culture way different than my own. Going on missions here at Encounter has 100% changed my life. It's truly shown me there's so much more to life than just trying to live for yourself. That's it. Y'all, these are real words. None of these prompted. None of these, scripted. Here's the truth for you guys. If you go out and step out in faith and be a witness just like he called us, you can never go back to the way you were. If you serve the way that he calls you to serve, if you join the mission field the way he calls you to join the mission field, you can never go back. The things you have seen, the things you have heard, the things you have felt, the things you have witnessed will forever change your life. The rest is up to you. He doesn't force. He doesn't guilt. He leaves it in your court. Do not let May come and you leave campus driving away saying, man, I wish I would have done something more. I wish I would have done more with my time. Just show up to Encounter and leave right after. I want that for you. We're going to go ahead and pass out now these opportunities to sign up. So what's going to happen is that people are going to come along and pass out these cards. On one side are your service opportunities. On the other side are mission opportunities. Go ahead and write down your information, name, email, phone, and check on each side whichever ones you are interested in. You are not signing your life away to anything right now. Again, we are just making this easy for you to connect in a way that's honoring to the Lord. There are pens right underneath your seat. If you don't have one, go ahead and reach underneath there. Super quick. Stay with me for 1 second. Pause for 1 second. I just want to make sure you know what's going on. The band's going to come up and play 3 songs to end us. You have that time within that 3 songs to come up here and just lay your card here on the stage. Nothing fancy, nothing schmancy, but here's what I want this stage to represent. This is an altar. And it's going to take some movement. It's going to take some commitment for you to get up out of your seats. It's going to be messy. Some of you are sitting in the middle. Some of you are not. But sometime throughout those 3 songs, when you're done filling out your card, get out of your seats and just lay your card here on the altar, representing that, hey, Lord, I'm giving myself to you this year. We'll see what he does. You have 3 songs to do that. Fill it out whenever you feel is the right time for you to fill out. Let me go ahead and pray. God, thank you for tonight. Thank you for revealing that you are just greater than our own little circles, than our own little bubble, that you chose to reveal yourself and your mission to a group of fishermen and carpenters and tax collectors. Lord, a lot of that is what's represented here in this auditorium tonight. Just a bunch of normal college students, but Lord, college students that I know are going to change the world. So Lord, as some of them have beating hearts tonight, Lord, that something struck a chord with them, some area of service, some trip that scares the heck out of them, Lord, I pray that you give them peace, and I pray that you help them remember that their calling is to be a witness, and they have everything inside of them because of your Holy Spirit. And Lord, for that, we praise you tonight. Let our worship be pleasing to your ears. It's in your name we pray. Amen.